ladies, and gentlemen, welcome to another exciting edition of Monday Motivation. Hi everyone, this is Rabbi Garfinkel of Project 613 here in Chicago without a live studio audience. It was a long day and the live studio audience went to bed. Okay, so what can we say? The Jewish people are in the midst of one of the greatest challenges we've certainly had in many, many, many decades. But we're here. We are here to connect. We are here to start off our Monday, as the title is, with motivation. You know, I've been thinking a lot about what to say tonight, and usually it flows. I've been debating all day, back and forth, what to say, how to say it. And part of me thought, you know what, just don't even address what's going on. And my phone has been exploding with anything from people who are scared, rightfully so, people who are in peaceful protests who are attacked by Palestinians, peace-loving Palestinians, just remember that, folks, as well as people who are putting up kidnap signs for the latest was 230 Jews who were still kidnapped in Gaza, and people coming and tearing them down, and with confrontations about those, about them tearing them down. They said, "Oh, there's 4,000 people in Gaza that are killed." Like there's some sort of equivalence, and like there's no moral sense that no one would have died in Gaza if they wouldn't have come and slaughtered over 1,400 people and kidnapped 230-something and maimed another and everything that they did. Like, it's this moral blindness. So I had to address what's going on. And I believe the job of a leader is not to create mass hysteria, but on the other hand, not to whitewash a grave situation. On the one hand, not to make false promises about a rosy future, but also not to sink others into depression. And so I thought to myself, where do we begin? We begin with the rock solid foundations of Torah and Judaism. So here's what we're going to do tonight. Well, today, wherever you're listening. We're just going to state it like it is. We're going to say it like it is. We're going to present several basic points, fundamentals, pillars of our Judaism, fundamental underbearings of our entire outlook on life, and then apply them. Okay? Is that a deal? So here we go. We're not going to mince words today. So, number one, we are the chosen people. We are the chosen people. We have an everlasting covenant with God, Hashem Almighty. The Jewish people will always exist as long as there is something called the human race. The Jewish people will exist. Period. There will be never, ever any genocide that will wipe out the Jewish people to extinction. Period. End of statement. That's one. And we should take solace in that. Number two, we were chosen for a special role on planet Earth. Not haphazardly, not randomly, but because we earned it. Right? We choose our covenants the old-fashioned way. We earned it. Okay, I used that on a previous podcast. That was for my brother-in-law. Okay, and We earned it. How did we earn it? Well, it's unbelievable. It was this last week's Torah portion, Parshas Lech Lecha, when Hashem Almighty says, Avraham, Lech Lecha, go out from your land. Go to the land of Israel and forge a new family. Forge a family and forge from that family will become a people, and from that people will become a nation. And why was Avram chosen? And this we've mentioned several times in previous podcasts, is because, as the Ramchal says in Derech Hashem, that God looked out in his world and he said, who is worthy? Who is on the level of recognizing God? And not only recognizing God, but has the concept down that we can have a personal relationship with God. There were other monotheists of the day. Noach was still alive. His son Shem was still alive. The ancestors of Avraham, they were still alive. But God chose Avraham to start this new people because he recognized not only that God exists, but that he's a giving and he's a loving God. And he is the source of everything through which we can have a personal relationship with. This is not the Wizard of Oz behind curtain number 3, some random polytheistic God throwing lightning bolts from beyond the curtain of existence. And so Avraham and Sarah were chosen. They earned it. We come from them. And the story of the rest of Bereishis of Genesis is the battle, the familial battle of who's in and who's out. Yishmael was a potential candidate, but he was out. And Yishmael, okay, well, hopefully, I'm sure we're going to get to that later in this podcast, but that is what we are talking about. Avraham recognized the Almighty. The rest of the world was filled with Avodah Zarah, with idol worship. And in fact, Avraham, his father, was the main idol worshiper. And he was the main right-hand man of the king of the day, Nimrod. Okay? And Avraham's father, Terach, was so upset that his son, Avraham, believed in one God, he turned his own son over to Nimrod to have him killed. Avraham stood his ground. Nimrod threw him into a fiery furnace. God himself, says the Midrash, came down and saved Avraham. He was just walking around in the furnace. He was just walking around having a day. He was bound up in rope and the rope just burned off. And Avraham was walking around in the fire. And Nimrod said, it's incredible. Go get him out of there. It's unbelievable. It's a miracle. And the workers tried to go and they couldn't even approach the furnace. It was so hot. And Hashem personally did a miracle. And at that moment, Avraham walked out of the furnace and earned the acclaim of everyone. At that moment, everyone realized that Hashem was the one, God is the one and only, that idol worship was false, and he started the greatest Jewish outreach movement in history. Thousands and thousands of people joined Avram in his monotheistic beliefs, not only that there's only one God, but you can have a personal relationship with him. And he set up centers all over to provide food and drink and lodging for people. And he only demanded payment with a blessing. Well, how much does this cost? It only costs to thank Hashem. And he would teach people about God and thanking people. Sounds like a Project 613 center that we have created and are in the midst of creating as well. Okay, that is point number 2. We're chosen because for a special role on planet Earth of being the moral barometers, of being those who bring godliness to the world. And therefore, we should take tremendous pride in that. Point number 3. We have the spiritual DNA of Ephraim, of Hebrews. Avraham in this last week's Torah portion is called Avraham HaEvri. Ivri means, comes from the Hebrew word la'avor, means to cross over, to be on the other side. That Avraham was on one side of the world opinion, and the entire world was on the other side. Everyone believed in, with a few notable exceptions, but basically the masses believed in multiple gods, in idol worship, and Avraham was on the other side. He had the spiritual DNA, he had the courage, the strength to be able to say, I don't care that everyone tells me I'm wrong. I am going to stand up for what I know is right. Folks, we also have that spiritual DNA because he passed it down to us. And since Avram lived and walked on planet Earth for 3,800 years, if there's one thing we Jews have been, we have been obstinate. We've been a stiff-necked people. We have been stubborn. And sometimes the stubbornness has gotten us into trouble because we were stubborn for the wrong things. But mostly we've been stubborn for the right things. You can kill us. You can, by fire, by water, by trial, by whatever it is. And you might get some of us, but you're not going to get the Jewish people to stop believing in Hashem. And every one of you listening here has that spiritual DNA. You are an Ivri. You're a Hebrew. That's where the word Hebrew comes from. You know, I speak Hebrew. Where does that come from? It's because I'm stubborn. You know, Israelis, they're Jewish. Okay, so that's point number three. When we see the UN, may their memory and name be obliterated, and you see on college campuses and the Palestinian intimidation all around the world, just in this downtown Chicago, they're animalistic. It's animalistic. Their behavior is animalistic. There's nothing more. And America doesn't even know what to do with it. They don't realize that in order to keep that down, you need a strong force to keep that down. Political correctness is not going to calm that beast. And therefore, we need, no matter how loud the voices are, we need to tap into the fact that we are Hebrews. We are Ivrim. We have the spiritual strength to stand on the opposite side of popular opinion. Point number four. The nature of this world is to be a test. This world is the workout, and the next world is the spa. If anyone is expecting 120 years of bliss in this world, you have the wrong expectations. Retool, reconfigure, recalculating. Yes, recalculate your expectations about what the purpose of this world is. The next world is eternity of bliss, reaping the rewards of the good deeds of the mitzvot that we've done, of the closeness that we have developed with Hashem in this world by doing mitzvahs, by being connected to our Torah, by learning it and living it, which is the vehicle to connect us to Hashem. It's expanded upon in the next world. But make no bones about it. This world is not supposed to, by design, be an easy stroll. It's supposed to be an obstacle course. Why? Why? Because when we face challenges and we overcome them, it brings out our true potential. Just like grapes that are crushed in order to elicit the fine wine, so too Hashem sends us challenges to squeeze out from us our latent and hidden greatness, to show it to the world, from spiritual potential energy to spiritual kinetic energy. What are we made of? Who are we fundamentally? When the layers of my identity are stripped away, I'm a successful business person, I'm an American, I'm an alum of this prestigious university. When all of that is stripped away and anti-Semitism strips away all the external identities and calls us out for our essential identity, Jew, we are Jews. If we don't celebrate that fact, then the non-Jews will remind us of that fact. It is incumbent upon us to pass this test, to make Kiddush so that the non-Jews won't make Havdalah, meaning that we need to sanctify positively and embrace positively our Jewish identities, because I'm telling you, and we're seeing it live in the flesh, that if we don't embrace our Judaism positively, the non-Jewish world will remind us negatively. So what is our choice when everything is stripped away? Do we celebrate our Judaism or do we hide? If our only response is to post on social media and get into political debates, then we've wasted this test. What a shame. What a missed opportunity. The call of the day is a spiritual awakening. It's in the air. I've never seen anything like this. An awakening of untold proportions. And I'm not exaggerating. And it's the time when every Jew needs to look him or herself in the mirror and say, who am I? I'm no longer a prestigious alum of that university because they're anti-Semitic. They don't protect even the basic safety of our Jewish students. Shame on them. Business person, who am I? The anti-Semite puts a mirror up to us. And instead of us hiding from it, we need to step up and not only be less Jewish, but be more Jewish. And so there's a concept in Judaism that we don't take revenge. There's an advanced concept. Now, I'm not talking about dealing with Hamas. Of course, an enemy comes to strike you, you go back, you strike him harder. But in terms of interpersonal relationships, the concept not to take revenge. Why? Because we know that ultimately, if something negative happens to us, it is like a master with a stick hitting the dog. Okay? And we're the dog. And the dog bites the stick, but he doesn't realize that it's the hand of the master. And so therefore, if our only response is to beat Hamas or to beat them on social media, then we're biting the stick. And we do need to bite the stick. And we should we do everything we can to destroy that stick. But we have to remember that the CEO of the universe is wielding that stick. He's calling us. He's calling us to recognize that we are Jewish. We can't just melt into the melting pot of America or wherever we are in the world. This is a clarion call to look in the mirror, to dig deep, and to say, I'm not going to hide being Jewish. I'm going to celebrate it. That is, I believe, one of the major ways that we can pass this test. You know, message number five, principle number five, we learn the Ramban Nachmanides tells us, Ma'aseh Avosim Labanim, that the actions of our forefathers are a sign for us. They're the spiritual trailblazers. And therefore, things that happen to them will happen to us. So we now are faced with enemies that are, if we include the entire Arab world, are much mightier than us. And we have captives. Many of them. And what happened in this last week's Parsha? The four kings beat the five kings. The first world war appears in Genesis. And the commentators point out, why did the four kings beat the five kings? To show that it's not only numbers who win, it's whoever the Almighty wants to win. And these four kings kidnapped Avraham's nephew Lot, and Avraham himself went with 318 servants and beat the four kings and their armies. And what does that tell us? That we've had captives before and they've been released before. And that when the Almighty is on our side, there is nothing that is going to get in our way. And therefore, we're just literally reading about wars and captivity in this week's Torah portion. It's sticking out to us. It's screaming out to us that the answer is that we need to step it up Jewishly. If the Almighty is on our side, there is no enemy that can last in front of us. And so therefore, we need to heed the call that our brave Jewish soldiers who are on the physical front lines will be successful when we step up to the spiritual front lines. I'd like to conclude with point number 6. There will be a Mashiach. There will be a Messiah. And again, I know a lot of Jews have not learned these concepts, and it's scary and weird, and what is that? The Messiah basically means there's going to be a final fixing of human history. There will be a leader who will come. And many of our sources talk about a cataclysmic final war. And the final scenario will be that the Jewish people will be like one lamb among the 70 wolves of the nations. Well, we're at about 68 or 69 wolves currently. So we're trending exactly the way that the Almighty has set out in his prophecies. Our job is to step up to be better Jewishly. And how can we do that? Lots of ways. One way that I would like to suggest is our Ignite the Light campaign. We have over 40 people signed up. Project613.com/ignite the light. You can pick a mitzvah that literally lasts 15 seconds, Moda Ani in the morning, or others. But make a plan. Step up. We need you. Stay calm and be more Jewish. God bless, and we'll see you back right here next week for another exciting edition of Monday Motivations.